This is TWiT.
We're going to kick things off with part two of our look at the newest, hottest phone in China. A phone you can't get in the U.S. Jason Howell from All About Android has the Xiaomi Mi 4.
Mi 4.
Why do we care?
Last week with the Mi 4. Why do we care? Because in the past couple of years, we've heard a lot. We've continually heard more and more about this Chinese company named Xiaomi and their dominance in the Chinese market. China's a huge market, obviously, in the cell phone world. We're so used to hearing about Samsung being this dominating, you know, Korean manufacturer. And here comes Xiaomi, and they're creating really impressive hardware. They have ambitions to be in the U.S. At least, definitely they have ambitions to go more global than they are right now. So I think this is just kind of the beginning. We are going to continue to hear more and more about Xiaomi.
But more than that, they hired away one of Google's top presenters, Hugo Barra. We used to love watching him at Google I.O. and other events. He's now their vice president for international, which tells me that Xiaomi has its eye on the U.S. market.
Absolutely, and he's kind of critical to that. That was part of the reason that he was brought in, was to just help them go global to a wider scale.
So you gave us a quick look, because you had just received it at the Xiaomi 4 last week. You spent a week with it. Give us your thoughts.
I actually took it camping this week. So it seems like camping is kind of a little bit of a thread in today's show.
Yes, it is.
But yes, so I've spent the last week with this as my cell phone. Of course, I'm on T-Mobile. And one of the big downsides right now with this device in particular is that it's meant for the Chinese market. So LTE in the States, it's not going to work. There is a model of the Mi 4 that's expected to come out later this year that will have LTE support. So it'll support more bands of LTE. But here in the States, and definitely on T-Mobile, I was on kind of slower speeds. It wasn't the end of the world. It was still kind of HSPA plus, you know, speeds like 5 megabits or whatever.
Not bad.
So it's not bad. But
the nice thing about T-Mobile, at least around here, is not very congested, so you get all the bandwidth you
can get. Fair enough. That's very true. So let's just rattle off the specs real quick to catch everybody up. It's a 5-inch 1920 by 1080 IPS LCD display. That's 441 pixels per inch. And right off the top, the display, I think, is one of the key features of this phone. It's an amazing display.
It looks so good on our screen here.
It's weird. My eyes, again, are just being like, you know, they're being warped to future devices, because I've gotten so used to how sharp everything looks on here. When I look at my Nexus 5, for some reason, I have to kind of alter myself a little bit to enjoy it.
It has all the crispness and dynamic range of an OLED display, but all the advantages
really
of
does.
A higher quality IPS display. So
it really does.
This seems like the display of the future from not just this company, but every other company.
Yeah, it's really good. I will say, though, I've only had it a week, and I don't know if you can catch it in the reflections. Probably not. But there are tiny little scratches that have already kind of
not good.
Kind of happened. So I don't know what that means for the longevity of the screen from a durability standpoint. But there you go. And I take care of my devices. Although I guess I did go camping, so it's very possible that something happened there. 2.5 gigahertz quad-core Snapdragon 801 processor, which is pretty much top of the line right now. 801's great, with 3 gigs of RAM. So this thing is screaming. And I think I said on last week's show, and it continued to be the case, OS level stuff for the most part, really, really happy with. Things just kind of fly when you're working through it and, you know, going everywhere that you need to go. There's not as much slowdown or lag on this that I'm used to seeing out of most Android devices. So I don't know if that's the software or what, but it's really great.
That's a good point. This isn't stock Android.
No, this is their own version of Android called MIUI. And actually, because of that, because it's a, you know, Chinese company, they have their own MIUI. You can see it's kind of like a horizontal layout. There is no app drawer. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of intricacies of this particular OS.
But it feels a lot like the iPhone, doesn't it?
It does. Well, yeah. And I mean, you can see from the design, right? It takes a lot of design cues from the iPhone. Back actually looks a lot like Samsung. It's more of a plastic back.
This
back
steal from the best.
Cover. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing about this device that I've noticed over the past week. There isn't a whole lot of originality with this device, right? But they do it really well.
Yeah.
So it's not the most original device, but they've integrated all of these components into a really nice, tight package that just works. It works really, really well.
That's not aluminum around the edge. That's stainless.
Stainless steel. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Which I like as a material.
Although I had this on the dash navigating up to our campground. And by the time we got there, I'd take the phone off the mount and
pretty hot.
Screaming hot. Yeah. Like, I could hardly even hold it. But yeah. I suppose that's just par for the course. 3 gigs of RAM. There's 16 gigs of storage in this device, although you can get up to 64 gigs. 13 megapixel rear-facing camera and 8 megapixel front-facing camera, which sound great, but I'd say the camera is one of the big downsides here. I don't know if you have those images lined up, Brian, but and I don't know how well it's going to come across on video on the screen, but basically a lot of the pictures that I took, even in great light, because, you know, we were camping, it was sunny, it was really nice, I had to really
kind
scramble to find solid
out.
Pictures. That's nighttime. That's okay. But, I mean, there were a million others during this time that didn't come out so well. Lots of smears in the faces, partially because they're moving. But this one I was able to get a good picture. But, again, I had to really go digging to find some solid pics.
Is it the same Sony chip that's in everything else? 13 megapixels makes me think it might be.
Yeah, I believe that it is. Yeah. I want
to
say
really
that
comes
it
comes down to software.
That's HDR. I thought the HDR was okay on it because it was kind of
dark.
That's
a challenging shot. With
yeah, and this well,
we
this
saw this just, on Facebook. You know, I love this.
cute indoor. But this is front-facing camera. So
interesting.
I will say that the front-facing camera is pretty decent. It's an 8-megapixel front-facing camera, so it's not bad. And then the video just got a lot of jumpiness to some video that I recorded. Audio on that video would max out really easily and just kind of distort. So I would say the camera is definitely not the strong suit on this device. Non-removable 3080 milliamp hour battery underneath this case. You can actually remove this case if you have a suction cup. It'll pop it right off. And they have replacement cases. So, you know, everybody's doing the stylized, like, Moto X, Moto Maker style, you know, replacements that you can do. And you can customize this as well with different backs.
Now, when we talked last time, you said you were able to put the Play Store on here. And
I was.
You can install all the apps. So have you put the Google apps on there?
Yes, I have. So if you go into the Mi Market, I believe this is the Mi Market anyway. Can you read this?
That's
for me?
The problem. It's still a lot in Chinese.
Wait a minute. No, there it is. There's the Mi Market.
Okay.
So if you go into the Mi Market and you do a search for Google, you'll find this app right here, which is the Google Installer. And this is how everybody kind of does it. Basically, all I did is I installed the Play Store through here.
And it
has three dependent files that you also have to install, and it does that for you. Then once you have it, then you can go into the Play Store, associate your account to it, and download all of your normal apps.
So now it's just a normal experience.
Yes, but it comes with a downside, right? Play Services is this crazy beast, you know, that we've gotten very, very used to inside our Android devices. But because this is a Chinese device with a different UI, so kind of getting to MIUI, right? It has some different workings underneath. For example, fill into apps, which is something I use all the time for LastPass. And I'm sure you do, too, because you're a LastPass user. Doesn't work on this phone.
Yeah.
Doesn't work, even if LastPass is logged in and everything.
Right.
Link Bubble, opening links by default into Link Bubble. That doesn't work.
Mm.
So little things like that, which make me kind of hesitate to say this is a phone for everybody. More a phone for, at least in the U.S., it's more a phone for tinkerers if you're dependent on Google's services. You know, opening Play Store links in the app versus a browser. So if you click it on a normal Android device, it would just take you right through to the Play Store and open it there. But here, it always goes into the browser, so you kind of have to go to the Play Store and search it. So it's kind of a hacky way to do it with this device. Other things, theme store. If you have Mi credits, you can theme your device. I could show you theming it really quick. I didn't get a credit. This was a free one, and I'm not sure that I really care for it too much. But I'll install it just to show you kind of the process. And now it's loading the launcher.
Are those capacitive? But it doesn't have physical buttons. They're capacitive buttons.
They're capacitive buttons down at the bottom, yeah.
All right, so now it looks even more like an iPhone.
A new theme, which apparently if I go two swipes, then I get this, like, strange overlay.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know either. But
oh, that's interesting.
There we go.
Huh.
Anyways, so now we're looking at a different theme. But so there's a lot of customization options. What else is there to be said?
Could I hack it? Is it root locked? Could I put CyanogenMod on it? Probably not.
You know, I didn't actually look into that on this device. I have to imagine that somebody has looked into doing that. I couldn't tell you, honestly.
It requires the Cyanogen developers to get one.
It requires a developer who just wants to spend the time trying to find some sort of an access point.
Yeah.
and vulnerability into the device. So I'm sure.
And how much was it? Sure. Is it fairly inexpensive?
$320 unlocked in China.
Unlocked, unsubsidized.
Unsubsidized, wow. Unlocked in China. So if you're there, $320 is how much you're going to spend. If you're in the U.S., which is kind of how I'm basing this review, right, because that's kind of where we are right now, you're probably looking upwards around $480 from.
Still, it shows you can get a flagship quality hardware for a very low price.
It's very reasonable, right? $480 unlocked is pretty great. And I would say that more or less this device warrants that cost. It just, has a few downsides, like I've said.
So Unknown in our chat room says that Cyanogen is available for Mi 3, so the Mi 4 presumably will get Cyanogen.
I would guess
so.
Yeah. There you go. And then you could unlock, I'm sure, more of the capabilities. But again, this doesn't have the LTE band, the LTE antennas for the United States necessarily. So, buyer beware.
Are we going to do a buy, try, don't buy?
I think let's do it. All right. But let's do it from the perspective of where we are. Because, if you're planning on importing it.
Right.
I think it's a different story. If you're in China, if you're watching this show and you're in China, this is a great device for you. And I don't think you should hesitate because it's a fantastic deal. If you're in the U.S., for example, and you're thinking about picking up this device, let's do the pros. Solid design. I'm just continually super impressed by the design of this device. The screen is fantastic. And super sharp. Just love the screen. I just want to pick it up and play with the phone because the screen's so sharp. Performance-wise, excellent performance. And, of course, the price. It's a pretty awesome price for the hardware you get. As far as the cons are concerned, camera, definitely. And that's a big downside for a lot of people, so keep that in mind. The software has little issues with it that if you're a true Google Android fan, you're either going to be okay with it or it's going to be a deal breaker. No LTE in the States yet. That'll be coming down the line. And the importer process might be just, more than you want to bear. But I'd say if you're an Android enthusiast, you might want to buy it. You probably would enjoy it. Outside of that, I don't know. I think there's just kind of still too many hurdles for anyone outside of Android enthusiasts in the States, anyways, to be okay with
too many other good choices with many more to come.
Plenty of other choices that have full support if you're living in the U.S. Yeah.